Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening for the privilege of gathering together in your name. We thank you, Lord, for building in which we can meet. Lord, we thank you for the fact that the damage done on Sunday or before Sunday was not as bad as it could have been. And Lord, I pray that you give us wisdom in finding a way to secure the building a little better. And we ask your guidance on that. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us to focus on your word tonight and on you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, we're going to go ahead and turn in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. We're actually going to look at Genesis chapter 6, chapter 7, Hebrews 11, 2 Peter 2, Matthew 24. We're going to go all over the place. All right, so just want you to be aware of that. However, the springboard, so to speak, is in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. As I was praying about what the Lord wanted me to give you this evening, he brought to my mind forcefully these related questions. Are you willing to pray while others play? And are you willing to work hard when others party hard? Are you willing to witness to those who are mocking you or ignoring you? And these questions immediately drew my attention to a man of God who answered these questions with a resounding yes by the testimony of his life. Can you guess who that was? Anybody want to try a guess? Noah, yes. The Genesis 6:9 should have told you that. Okay. Let me read for us several passages of scripture then, the ones I mentioned to you before, that describe his character and testimony. Genesis 6, verse 9 says this: that these are the records of the generations of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his time. Noah walked with God. That's an amazing testimony. Then chapter 7, verse 5. Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. Wow, could we say that of our lives? That's amazing. Now turn over to Hebrews chapter 11. I'll give you a little more time because that's going to the New Testament. But Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. Hebrews 11, 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By the way, how many were in his household?
Eight.
There you go. Thank you, Sheku. All right. Was very interesting. I don't know if there's any relationship here, but what is the considered the lucky number in Chinese?
Eight.
Interesting. I wonder if it has any relation to that. Because there are good historical records in Chinese, you know, history of the Ark. Okay. So interesting. Just thought that was an interesting. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. And did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. So Noah and seven others equals eight. Okay. Matthew 24. Verses 38 and 39. These would be the last passages we'll look at before we examine these further. So Matthew 24, verses 38 and 39, the Lord Jesus said this: For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. That's a wonderful verse because it connects Noah and what we can learn from his life to the fact that Christ is coming, and that's exciting. Notice the character qualities of Noah that revealed his mindset or his way of thinking. Noah was a righteous man, blameless, as we just read in Genesis 6, verse 9. He was committed to doing right and avoiding sin. What a testimony, blameless. Could the Lord say that about us? Noah walked with God. This is the second part of Genesis 6, verse 9. And he was not just interested in doing right and avoiding sin. There could be pride motives and all that. The important thing was that he had a personal, vital relationship with God, which motivated him to please God and obey him. Very interesting that it uses the expression Noah walked with God. Obviously, God did not come down in physical form and Noah took a stroll with him down some path, but rather it's expressing the fact that Noah had an ongoing personal relationship with God. He was that close to God and loved God and wanted to please God. It's a reminder that we need to be walking with God every day. Noah obeyed God completely and exactly. Genesis chapter 7, verse 5 says, Noah did according to all that the Lord had commanded him. He put God's commands at the top of his priorities and realized that obeying God required obedience in every sense of the word. Perhaps this personal illustration will help. I may have mentioned to some of you probably years ago in a series on parenting that Brenda and I taught our four children a specific definition of obedience. We taught our kids obey immediately, exactly, completely, and happily, or else it's not true obedience. Okay? So we defined for them what biblical obedience was. And we also taught them that when you obey God, you need to obey that same way. So obeying us is part of their responsibility, but more importantly, it's teaching them, training them to learn how to obey God that same way. So immediately, exactly, completely, and happily. We drew this definition from studying the Bible's definitions and descriptions of obedience that please God. And you'll find that as you go through the scripture, you'll find when it talks about obeying God, that these are the characteristics that God demands in our obedience to him. We've seen that Noah was a righteous man and blameless. He walked with God and he obeyed him completely and exactly as he had commanded him. Fourthly, Noah placed his faith in God. Notice what we read earlier in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. And then in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and did not spare the ancient world, but preserved Noah, a preacher of righteousness, with seven others when he brought a flood upon the world of the ungodly. So we see here that Noah understood from walking with God that God was omnipotent, omniscient, righteous, holy, and good. God deserved his complete and unquestioning trust and obedience. And this is why when God told him to do something that did not make sense to him, maybe, build a huge boat far from any water, because he would be bringing a global flood that would destroy everything on land and in the air that was not on the ark, Noah did not hesitate to believe and obey. Oh, that we would be like Noah. We've noticed these four godly character qualities of Noah that revealed his mindset or way of thinking. Notice something else about Noah. Noah had courage. Noah did not only do what God told him, build an ark, but he also was willing to tell everyone why he was doing it. He was a preacher of righteousness. True faith in God removes fear of being ridiculed or being thought a fool. Perhaps I should add, it may not necessarily remove the feeling of fear, But true faith gives the courage to obey and honor the Lord in spite of the fear of being ridiculed or being thought a fool. Some of us are more sensitive than others. You know, at the probably at the top of the line, I'd say I was sensitive, still am probably. But you can be sensitive and feel a little bit of fear of ridicule and so forth. But by God's enablement, you can make the decision to do what is right. And that's courage. Courage is not a lack of feeling a fear. Courage is doing what's right, no matter how scared you are or how embarrassed you are or whatever. So not only did Noah have courage, Noah had commitment. Noah kept building the ark, even though it took several decades to do it. How many have ever been to the ark encounter? Wow, you got to go. Seriously, you got to go. We've got some slides, not slides, pictures, you know, it's slides. I'm talking 40 years ago. We took some pictures with our iPhones, and it's just amazing to see little people, you know, at the bottom of the ark there, and this thing is huge, and then walking through it, you know, all three levels of it is just amazing. And it's not three levels where you had to bend over because the ceiling's, no, I mean, the ceiling is way up there on each of the levels. It's just amazing. You've got to go. Seriously, you got to go. But just think about this. Noah was building this thing, and it took years, decades to build this ark. And they didn't have the, you know, the technology that we have. They didn't have the gas powered, you know, cranes and all the rest. No, it was all by hand. So amazing. But the point is, he had commitment to keep working, keep preaching, even though everyone around him was playing and partying. Think about it. How many, besides his family, were converted and decided to go on the ark with him? Zero. Wow. So by today's standards, he was just an unsuccessful preacher. But was he successful? Absolutely. He did what God wanted him to do. And he had courage, he had commitment, and he saw it through to the very day that the rain started. Let me apply all this to you and to me today. Do you have the mindset of Noah? Are you committed to serving the Lord and witnessing to the lost, even though they are mocking or partying or accumulating wealth and all sorts of other distractions? You will not have Noah's mindset until you have learned to trust and obey Noah's God. You will not have Noah's courage and commitment until you have learned to walk with Noah's God. As you get to know the Lord better, you will then gladly give him first place in your life, first place in your priorities. So we are living in the last days, and the conditions are very similar to those of Noah's day, as the scripture warns us. God's grace was sufficient to make Noah what he was before the flood came. And God's grace is still sufficient to make you a Noah before Christ comes again. The key is your heart and your will. Will you surrender to him and depend on his grace, his enablement to be a Noah? I hope you'll consider what we've studied from the scriptures this evening and respond to the Lord in whatever he is showing you. Next Wednesday, Lord willing, we'll return to Noah and consider another application to our lives and situation from his life. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the reminder in this glimpse into the life of Noah and his character, his heart, his mindset. Father, I pray that you would strengthen our hearts, that we would have his courage, his commitment, that we would walk with you as he walked with you. Oh Lord, we have so much less excuse for missing out on walking with you. We have so much more scripture that we can read, that we can memorize, that we can apply. And Lord, I pray that we would have the same kind of mindset that Noah had, so that we would be a Noah in our day and age. Lord, we believe the second coming of our Lord is approaching very, very near. And Lord, I pray that even though we're not looking for rain clouds, Lord, we know that we are looking for the return of our Savior. I pray, Father, that we would be prepared in heart and that we would be busy working until you return. And Lord, may we also be busy preaching as Noah was until you return. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.